Since we're still waiting for Ken, I'm going to go grab a drink.
Way ahead of you.
Hello.
Oh, good. Now that you hear Paladin has left. It's like a Three Stooges episode.
Only with five.
You're our shimp.
Oh, man. That makes me depressed.
Boost up for Buster.
Kettle!
This is Superhero Time. With XV.
I can't fit that thing in my mouth.
Hey, Mickey.
Blow job reference.
Paladin.
Taste the magnificence.
Ken.
I believe the term is, it's not going to suck itself.
And Fort Max.
Okay, it's back in.
Okay, so it's time to start the show. It's Superhero Time, and I'm going to be quiet for the next hour.
Except when we force you to speak. By addressing you directly.
Okay, we'll adjust.
News?
So, yeah, some stuff actually did happen this past week. For starters,
XP, make a stop, please.
We found out that Arms Change Knuckle will exist.
Now, what kind of exclusive is he going to be?
Premium, the same as the Sigurd and Marika and Bravo.
Oh, well, I didn't want one anyway. Those grapes look sour.
He's not grapes. Grapes is regular release.
God damn it, Formax. The term sour grapes, it's an idiom or an expression. I don't
know. Now I've made you explain the joke.
God damn it! God damn it!
Oh, man, he... Oh.
I hate you all.
I kind of give credit to Fort Max on this one.
Burn, man, burn.
Damn.
Screw you guys, I'm drinking.
You fell for it.
Your mom falls for it.
But she gets paid to fall. Crap, what else happened? Oh yes, this week we got to see Tokyo 6's Megazord. Build Dio.
So I think I've finally figured out what they're doing, what the style is for Tokyo's Megazords. It was a challenge to see if they could make something ugly and keep making it more and more ugly until it becomes something beautiful. And I think it's working.
And plus the combined form's name.
Yes, Build Dio combines with Dieselo and Tokyo to form Cho-Cho Tokyo Dio.
Say that again.
Please don't make me say that again.
No, I want you to say it again.
Say it again.
Fine. Cho Cho Tokyo Dio.
I love that name.
Yes.
I do too.
I know it's like super or something like that.
It is a paladin level train pun.
Yeah, it's like choo choo.
Yeah. Just seeing it written like that with a train Megazord makes me happy. But still, that's 10 Reshes combined, and that's barely halfway through the series.
I hope they're just going to outdo the cluster f***iness of Engine OG-12.
It's possible at this point. We did get a closer look at the movie exclusive, too. Safari Go. Which is Tokyo with a beast mode.
I kind of like it.
It's kind of ridiculous.
Like I said...
I'm not sure if that will add to the cluster or not, but we'll find out.
How could it not?
There's always a way. And away from merchandise news, next month we can look forward to seeing a special Gaim versus Kikaider episode.
There's a lot of people getting, you know, like they got all mad about Tokyo crossover, but I don't necessarily mind it, even as much as a blatant advertisement as it is, but the Kikaider design and the...
It does not match up well with the Gaim style, does it?
It doesn't, and it seems like the movie is skewing a lot darker than even, like, Gaim does. So it's kind of like throwing Kamen Rider the First at, you know, I don't know, any other Kamen Rider that's on TV. That's how it feels, which is a little weird, but I kind of like the concept of it. So I'm
From a marketing standpoint, it's the same theory behind the GoBusters versus Gavin team up.
Only with a popular show.
A show that people actually watch.
And hopefully it will be good.
Well, that too.
I'm really not excited about the Kikaider reboot. And the fact that it's going to be messing up something I do care about. And by messing up, I don't mean it's going to be bad. I mean it's going to be interrupting.
But you see, my question is, they probably had this planned out a long time ago, so it's probably something they've already accounted for in terms of planning and writing. The Kikaider thing was something that they teased over a year ago with Superhero Tyson Z's ending.
And Gavin was clearly done at the last minute before they had any idea what they were doing with the Gavin movie.
This is something they probably had already in place. And in mind.
Wait, are you implying they eventually arrived at an idea of what they're doing with the Gavin movie?
It ended, didn't it?
Yeah, there were credits.
They eventually figured out that, okay, this is what we're shooting.
Just as much as you do with Kikaider, the Fallen.
Except with Kikaider, they don't even have a Kenji Oba to fall back on and make it awesome.
Michael Bay presents Gavin.
They could put Kenji Oba in Kikaider.
True, I don't think anyone would complain.
Mm-mm.
Would anyone complain about having Kenji Oba put in them? I know I wouldn't.
I wouldn't either. Actually, I wouldn't have mind if Kenji Oba was in basically everything, but, you know.
Yeah, that's what Mickey's saying in butt.
I'm just saying that on the whole,
well,
Morphalus
probably prefers to be...
Fort Max, stop talking over Mickey's subtle gay jokes.
Subtle.
I don't know, on the whole was pretty good.
It certainly is.
News?
Okay, if we're moving out of the hole now.
We'll go back in.
That doesn't count anymore.
In and out.
Did I do a train pun?
Not yet.
No, Paladin, Mickey already used that hole. Go find your own.
Yeah, it'll be cleaner this way. Okay, we may have... up to 4 new Kamen Riders for the Gaim summer movie. At least 2, maybe 3, and the 4th one is just Pinecone Energy Arms.
What?
Pinecone Soda!
What?
He's the only Energy Rider to not get a bow, but he still just has Kurokage's spear.
Okay.
He has a pointier stick.
So if you say... If you think about the way, like, Pine Sol smells, and you turn that into a soda, you know, without all the cleaning agents that will kill you if you drink it, that might not actually be so far-fetched.
I could see Japan doing that.
I mean, it wouldn't technically be pine cone soda, but it would still be pine soda. And, you know, having discussed this now, I kind of would want to taste that.
And it's supposed to be carbonated Pine Sol now.
Well, that's all it would be, really. It would be whatever makes Pine Sol smell like Pine Sol in soda water.
I'm sure there are certain energy drinks that actually do taste like that.
But Pine Sol smells good. Energy drinks are terrible.
It's Pine Sol plus scrubbing bubbles. It's the ultimate cleaning soda.
Oh, man.
And Energy Rider Kurokage is Peiko from Team Baron. Which means Team Baron now has a banana and 2 nuts.
Again. That didn't really work out so well for them last time.
Well, Team Baron doesn't tend to work out too well anyway.
I don't know.
Knuckles doing better lately.
Zach's doing fine. Actually, he's like...
Knuckle is actually the most heroic Kamen Rider in Gaim right now.
Not only that, he's the one with the... Even though he doesn't have... It's probably because he doesn't have as much screen time, but, you know, he doesn't have... nearly the issues anybody else does. He actually has his head on better than any other rider in the show.
I think he's got the highest batting average after Kota, anyway.
Yeah,
well,
he
also,
does!
He only fights grunt level Invest, too, so,
well,
you know...
It's also better than Kaito does.
Well, it's just like in Pokemon. It's just like in Pokemon. You level up on Magikarp first, then you move on to stuff that can actually fight back. It's exactly the same thing.
some Magikarp can, like, take out legendaries. If you focus sash them. I just figure it's time for another Pokemon segue, because we haven't had one in a while.
Well, it's not very effective.
I'll allow it.
So also, in this movie, dead people.
Yeah. It may be alternate universe, but so far, we're not really sure either way. But Yuya and Hase are both back for the Kaim summer movie.
Maybe they'll get actual characterization. I'm sorry.
Oh, Yuya's got plenty of characterization. He's blonde. That's all that Square needed for Cloud.
Didn't he also have a sword?
That's true, yeah.
They can give Yuya a sword.
A big sword?
Well, maybe not too big. It can't overshadow Kota. As long as they keep it smaller than the Orange Smasher.
See, now I'm imagining Cloud's Buster Sword with a DJ turntable in it.
Final Fantasy 15 right there.
Yes. Actually, more items should have DJ turntables in them. Like, imagine if your car drove faster by, like, scratching on the steering wheel.
So what you want is a turning apparatus inside the apparatus that turns the car.
Yes.
What could possibly go wrong?
But how would you text
go
with it?
Right.
It would be like a rotary phone, Paladin. You would dial a text. But if you did that, where would you put the shelf to hang your laptop on?
And where's the cup holder?
If you're in a Volkswagen, there is no cup holder.
It's in the laptop CD tray.
It's in the trigger magnum.
It's in the basement.
You, Detroit. Thanks again to GigiBeetle for filling in week before last. That was the best episode I've listened to in a long time.
Oh, wait. What if we put a turntable on, like, a cake batter mixer so you could mix your mixing? No?
Now I just want cake mix.
Well, just like a giant bowl with a straw?
Yeah, why not?
Oh.
If you can drink cake batter through a straw, you're making your cake batter too thin.
Or you've got an excellent job working as a prostitute.
Yeah.
Actually, drinking cake batter and sucking dick sounds like something your mom would be great at.
At the same time?
Yeah. Cake batter and baby batter.
Two great tastes?
That go great together.
What were we talking about?
I don't know, but this is frightening on so many levels.
A guy movie. I'm not sure how we got to the guy from guy movie to this.
I don't think I want to know how we got to the guy movie from this.
Let's just move on to something else.
Spin right, the turntable so this goes a little faster.
All right, I'll pull things back on track with the Tokyuger magazine scan for May.
Let's just call that a segue and not the worst pun tonight.
Okay. This gives us our first look at the Emperor of Darkness. And it's Nobunaga from Movie War Core.
That's about the most evil thing I can imagine.
Why must you remind me?
I thought Nobunaga was the thing you liked about Core.
Yeah, but Nobunaga Oda is evil. Like, he's the ultimate Japanese villain.
But hey, I'm cool with another human villain. In a Kobayashi series. What a surprise.
So wait, he's the one that's going to be banging Grita?
Yeah.
Think
about that image for a while.
Oh, I can't wet you on Pixiv.
There's your cake batter.
Oh, no. Oh, my goodness.
DeviantArt, here I come.
They're already teasing Tokyo 6.
Did you mean the pun behind that one?
I certainly did.
See, I'm just trying to roll right through it, but you're not letting me.
Are you? Roll right in it, Ken. Roll it around.
Okay.
Till it starts to get gelatinous and dried out.
So yeah, Kobayashi likes her human villains. Evidently.
And big surprise, Tokyo 6 next month.
That's about right, timing-wise.
Is it going to be episode 18?
That would be a little later than they're going for, because we... More around episode 13, probably.
Ooh, early then.
That's around when...
Well, it came early last time, too. It
came really early.
Your user had 10 of them.
Yeah, it came really early last time. But, I mean, Beat and Stag were, like, in episode 13 or so. 12 or 13.
Were they that early?
Yeah.
Hmm, okay.
Guy showed up in Gokaidra in, what, 16?
17. But Gokaidra started a little earlier than GoBusters, and GoBusters started a little later, which Tokuger started around the same time, so...
The Go on Wings are like 17, I think.
Yeah, they've kind of been... I think they've kind of been backing that up a little bit.
And then there's Geki Ranger, episode 24.
Ah, jeez.
And then the next one in episode 26.
Yeah. Screw you, Purple, we don't care.
Well, Purple never dressed up as a kid's dead mom, so...
Or hawked ancient artifacts to pay off his drinking bills.
And he never tried to bang Tokyo 3.
Wait, which one is 3?
Yellow.
Oh, okay. The nagging one.
The typically yellow one, I guess I should say.
Yeah. Paladin news, go. We don't have all night.
Okay. Probably the last thing of significance is this week we also got a very, very brief teaser for the new Garo movie. It's a it's a follow-up to The One Who Shines in Darkness.
Oh, so something I'd be interested in.
All we see right now is Ryuga, and it looks like his sword's gone back to its original color, which probably means the Garo armor is black again for part of the movie. Or they just had that prop lying around, I don't know.
Given it's Garo, they probably just had that prop lying around. But the sword itself looked mostly the same, didn't it?
Kind of. It did change a bit once he finally went golden.
Oh. Oh, it's just a teaser.
So will they be able to get Ryoma from Gaim back over into Garo?
I'm sure they will.
The more important thing is, do we even care if they do?
Yeah, I'm more...
He showed up acting as Ryoma.
So, really, so long as they get, like, Ryuga and Takeru, I'm good.
Maybe some Rian, too, because she was good.
She was good eventually, once they stopped kind of writing her terribly. See, I couldn't like that last quarter of the
Now,
series.
What about Guy?
That's what I'm saying, Takeru. Guy is the guy that... Remember, this got confusing in the series. Makai Knight Guy is... Aguri. Yes.
Is Ryoma.
Yes. Well, Gokaidra Guy is Takeru, who is Makai Knight Zen. Yes.
Can we just call Guy Makai Knight Warring?
He's not interesting enough for that, sadly.
No.
I'm trying to imagine him like use his bow the same way he uses a keyboard.
I find it really funny, though, that he's an energy rider because, you know, bows.
Typecast already.
Yep.
He'll be in the Japanese Arrow next year.
I don't know. I think he actually can use this bow.
And they're bows that he uses as swords, too.
Yes.
However, the bow... However, it doesn't have physical arrows for him to just jab into things.
That is a weakness, yes.
I'm sure he'll find a way around that.
How come there's not a bow that's also a staff? That seems like it's a no-brainer.
Because you don't want your staff bent?
It's spring back to shape, though. Bows are springy.
Perhaps you don't know how bows work.
I really don't. I understand there's a plunger mounted in the middle of them that fires the arrow out through a tube.
That's the Nerf bow and arrow.
And the one in Gaim as well.
That's the Nerf bow and arrow.
Oh, okay. Is that not how bows work?
The Nerf bow and arrow.
Oh, okay. Well, as long as it works.
I wonder if that's on YouTube.
It's no Usinator, though.
No, but the Usinator commercial doesn't really work without the visual to go along with it. That was such a short-lived thing, the memory of that's kind of limited. Whereas you get people who are, you know, like, my age, Mickey's age, Ken's age, you know, we can all relate to Chicken Tonight.
Yeah.
Or Ecto Cooler.
I still miss that shit. I gotta try the make-your-own recipe one night.
Get Gigabeetle to test it first.
One of Big's e-cig juices is supposed to be Ecto Cooler flavored.
So, do you ever just, like, drink some of it?
No, I can't really... From the smell of it, I don't really recognize it. So, I don't know.
Well, maybe that's just after it comes out of him.
That's true. Maybe being polluted by Ben Smells. I wonder if they ever polluted this house.
Yeah, right. Or my house.
It's funny because it's true.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, speaking of Giga Beetle, he did try grits today, so hopefully we'll get a full report later on.
That he probably didn't mess them up this time?
That probably was the full report. He didn't mess them up before. He didn't even try them.
Yeah, apparently he didn't realize there was instructions on the packages. Wait, did we cover this last episode with him?
Yeah.
Previously on Superhero Time.
So I've been reading, I just discovered a couple weeks ago, the X-Men cartoon episode guide / reviews on Comics Alliance.
Yes, that is fantastic.
It is. It is. It's just like the Star Trek Next Generation fashion blog.
Is that still around? Are they still doing stuff?
I don't think it's updated in a few months.
Aw.
Yeah, well, you know, lives.
I don't care about their lives.
I'm sure it'll come back eventually. But yeah, that X-Men episode guide is pretty excellent.
Yeah.
No pun intended. I knew as soon as I said it was wrong, but too late.
Oh well. What's done is done.
Covered in scorpions.
This is where Fort Mac should yell out Gene.
I already have an MP3 of that.
Gene! Fort Mac says, Fort Mac is our Wolverine. Which is funny because you think he'd be Cyclops.
No, I would think Ken would be Cyclops.
Actually, that does kind of work.
I'm enough of an asshole to be that. Yeah, sure.
That's not really where I was going with that, Ken.
Yeah, but it's also unfortunately true.
You
know, Paladin,
you
get to be Morph. Because just like him, you're not funny.
It also means I die sooner, right?
No, because he actually didn't die, remember? They just left him behind because they were tired of him. Now me, I call dibs on Jubilee. Clearly the star of the show.
So who's the Gambit that's going to always bang, that's always going to hit on you?
Fort Max.
I thought I was Wolverine already.
No, I decided you're Gambit instead because you're Space Cajun.
I think Wolverine's I think Wolverine's a little too cool.
No.
For any of us.
XV is clearly Professor XV.
Ah.
Yes, Charles Xavier is a bag of dicks.
That's true.
Very true.
And I like to sit down all the time.
Now somebody has to draw this.
Get on that, Mickey.
I would, but my desk is all the way over there, and I've got glasses in my hands.
You're the most drawingest of all of us.
The most drawingest.
Yes.
That's a word now. Copyright Superhero Time.
I said it. It's a word.
Okay, I'll draw it and I'll post it to Pixiv.
Okay. Be sure to put it under R18.
Right. Superhero Time / artwork.
Ugh.
Fans, get on it. By fans, I mean people being forced to listen to this, not people that actually like us.
And I can guess what you mean by get on it.
On the whole.
Or the other end, whichever way you
think.
Do we have to?
Sometimes. Oh, hey.
The Next Generation Fashion Blog actually did update 3 hours ago.
Weird.
Hey guys, new post coming soon. Promise!
Oh, well, that doesn't really count then.
That's kind of funny, though, that...
Well, yes. They heard the show 3 hours ago and just wanted to prove that they weren't dead yet.
But they're probably in Europe where the clock's farther ahead.
No, I think they're just in New York.
Well, maybe they're in New York, Italy.
Oh. That's true.
Yeah, probably is.
Okay, so are we doing a show?
We try.
Let's get on to Covering Wizard.
Huh?
Let's get on to Covering Wizard.
Okay, Ken, I think you're first up on Tokuger.
Alrighty. Let's see here. 8 because I haven't watched 9 because I got distracted earlier when I was trying to. So.
Wait, is 9 out?
You were trying to sew?
It's been out since last week.
You sew, Ken?
Why don't I have 8 then?
No. You don't have 8. Oh.
Good thing I wasn't having Mickey do 9. So, fun thing. Overtime seems to hate Tokuger now.
What?
They do seem to have it on the back burner. It's been later than usual the last couple weeks.
Well, it's mostly Az, but he hates everything.
He's not usually so vocal about it, though.
What is precisely...
I mean, he is vocal about it, but not to this extent.
What is precisely wrong with it? I mean...
I'm going to guess the stupidity.
No more stupid than what they subbed last year.
Yeah, I mean, Curator was pretty much the dumbest thing ever, like beating monsters with farts. I mean...
So, you know, maybe after, you know, slogging through a whole year of Wizard and a whole year of Kyoryuger, they're finally like, you know, this kind of sucks. Maybe we shouldn't put so much energy in it anymore.
I think Tokuger is smarter written than Kyoryuger.
It is, but if their whimsy gland is depleted by 2 years of stupid shows, maybe they're just not in the proper mindset to appreciate the gloriousness of Tokyo.
They've never dropped a show currently airing once started, have they?
No, but they probably wish they could go back and have dropped Wizard. Nobody involved really seemed into it by the end of Wizard. Which, not surprising.
True. So if we can still watch Tokyuger subs eventually, I'll be satisfied with that much at least, even if I don't understand their attitude towards it.
I don't really care about that as long as I get it. And we're running a week behind nowadays anyway, which has actually served a lot better for us, I think. So, I don't care. Everybody has opinions, just like assholes.
Some people have too.
And we know all about assholes here, don't we? In one way or another.
What are you saying, Ken?
And why didn't I watch this in the episode?
There are several jokes there, but I'll just leave them behind. Anyway.
Behind.
So, episode opens simply with, hey, we have a new toy we need to go find. And that's basically the first 2 minutes. Which is basically setting up the Diesel Russia. There's a thunderstorm for His Majesty, meanwhile, at the villain's hideout. And more about... blah, blah, gather more darkness, this, that, the other. Typical Sentai villain stuff, basically. Big Bad is coming, and it's only episode 8.
Well, then he's probably not really the Big Bad, is he?
Nope!
Or maybe he just comes too soon.
poor Greta. Oh, that's really something I don't want to think about.
I'm sure she'll grow up soon enough.
Oh, God.
So, do
we think Greta's going to have, like, a Digimon-style evolution to some, like, sexy S&M slave when she gets married?
So, basically, like Olympus and Lightspeed Rescue? Except
I've said that before, and it definitely wouldn't surprise me.
So, here's what I'm thinking. Since Greta's already so big, I think when she grows up, she's going to be a giant monster, which is probably going to get killed immediately, but then have the Emperor's baby, which is going to become the final villain for the series in the Olympus-style deal.
That's wrong on so many levels, it sounds like something Kobayashi would do.
It's going to be a three-stage process.
Interesting.
So when is it... So the better question is... when is it conceived?
I'm going to say episode 20 or so.
Yeah, that's not what I meant. What stage is it conceived in?
The
first trimester?
Oh, lovely.
Probably went while Greta is ovulating.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dear.
For all we know, that could be all the time.
So,
do rubber monster suits have periods?
I don't know. Why don't you go ask one?
Well, they're probably pretty absorbent.
Anyway, they're out in the city looking for the giant train. Pause.
No, it's not like it's any bigger than a regular train.
Yes, but still, it's a train.
That's true. It's just a regular-sized train, not a giant train.
Now, the super train, that was a giant train.
True.
That thing flew over a city, man.
Like these. Regardless, they go out asking kids about it, because only kids can see the trains. And then...
And Tokati kind of has a problem with that.
He tries to act older than he is. Or act. In all actuality. But then, in the process of doing it, they come across a shadow, of course. So they transform and try to fight it. Tokati... Oh. What's that?
I love this monster costume of how it has no arms.
Yes. It's just a bomb with legs, basically.
So when Tokyo comes to America, will they turn this into a giant orange?
Oh, they'll only use 20 episodes, so it won't matter.
But this is the toy introduction episode.
They'll cut around it.
Oh. Yeah.
Or they'll just skip it and it'll just show up in the next episode. These are valid things, and you know it.
Hey, yeah, guys, let's use our new Zords.
Train Force, you now have new powers.
Fuck you, Jose. Go away. That's a perfect impersonation, by the way.
Thank you.
Jose should be the mentor for every series going forward.
Wouldn't surprise me at this point.
Have a cameo of the Megaforce cast at the start of Dino Charge, and it's just like, you guys are fired, here's the new guys.
I like how he sees, he sees him, he's like, I can already see your shocked expressions, and, you know, they have helmets on. So they just stare at him. But then Wright runs up and kicks the monster, and it blows up. Hey, that was easy. Real easy, totally. No problems. So then, as they get back on the train, it is.
Well, I like how they immediately realized it was too easy, and they went like, "Wait a second, he's gonna turn big here in just a second. Let's go and get the trains down."
Yeah, yeah. So they summon the Rainbow Line, and it's like, "Okay, we're gonna form Tokyo." Wait, why? Where's all this smut coming from? So they're getting fogged out by a bunch of random smoke all of a sudden, and then they go searching around the train to find the source. Which ensues with basically trying to shoot the same set from about six different angles and making it look like they're looking around the entire train. But, you know.
The handy thing about trains is that they look pretty similar from car to car.
Yeah. This is the Dino method of set construction.
Yeah. Oh, we need a sleeper car? Well, just take all the tables out. Beds? No, yeah. Don't worry about that. That's not important.
Yeah. Throw some boxes in there. A storage car.
I like the point when they realize, hey, where's Wright? And they're like, eh, don't worry about it.
Then he just shows up. But yeah, Wright is actually still out there looking for the Diesel Russia. Now, anyway. Or he left and went to go look for it some more.
Yeah, he snuck into the Children's Creative Discovery Museum to play with the events.
Yes, but then they just take off without him. And, of course, searching through the entire car, they didn't look up.
Well, that's pretty much true to life.
Isn't it? Whoever looks up, you don't just stare at the ceiling. You always look on the ground. But you dropped it there. Things don't go up.
You look at the ground, so you don't have to look at people in the eyes as you move around town.
Well, that too, but, you know.
I like that conductor checks off his stack of ninja DVDs again.
Yes. But, meanwhile, the monster is now itsy-bitsy size and hitched a ride on them, and it actually has a copy of him sitting on Tokati.
So, it's the Sneak Brothers again?
Yes.
Basically, yes. It is the Sneak Brothers again.
That's the best episode. Let's go watch that again.
If they remove the bomb, Tokati goes boom.
The downside would be...
There's probably a hole in the train.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would get breezy at wintertime.
Yeah, I like the entire cast, but Tokati is expendable.
I think that's the entire point of episode 10.
Well, I haven't gotten to 10 yet. I haven't gotten to 9.
It's titled Tokati Dies at Dusk.
Oh,
Koji
well.
Koji Kabuto dies in magma.
So they have a bit of a problem. The other three transform and fail at grabbing the little monster.
While Mike tries to rape Takati.
Yes. They leave Takati in Wagon's care.
Care. And meanwhile, the engine is speeding out of control.
Yes. While Wright is completely clueless to all of this, as he...
Heading straight into a populated section and going to explode.
Yes. And
presumably
Wright...
hitting a bus full of nuns and school children.
Yes. And Wright is absolutely completely clueless to all this because he has found the Diesel Russia, which is very, very dusty. And...
stretched out cotton.
Yes. Those are spider webs. Shh. Oh. No spiders, but just the webs. unfortunately, the actual transformation trinket part of it is not working. While owner is in the, conductor is in the
same difference.
Red Russia trying to get the train to not kill all of them, and throws ticket off his hand to actually use his hand. He has a hand.
That's kind of disappointing.
Wow, well,
actually, that makes Ticket all the more confusing.
Yes,
we'll get to that in a moment. So Wagon has had her way with Takati, by which I mean he has.
We know what you mean.
This is what's referred to as Japanese rope bondage, I believe.
Also, weren't you calling her Caboose last time?
Yeah,
it was Mickey. Yes,
I think that needs a stick.
I think so too.
Hmm.
Yeah, Takati actually has had enough of her shit because he kind of just tells her, "Get away from me." Like, I know he's saying, you know, if the worst happens, it blows up, get away from me. But what he actually means is,
just go away.
Get the fuck away from me.
I'd rather die alone than be.
He forgot to set up the safe word.
Yes. So anyway, Hikari goes up front to help conductor stop the train, and they succeed. Where...
And then he watches conductor wipe himself with ticket.
Yes.
With ticket's ass.
A seemingly immobile ticket. And he just kind of...
I'm going to pretend I didn't see that.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm not sure what he wants to believe.
No, he probably just really wants to believe he didn't see that.
Yes.
And I don't blame him.
Yes. Yes. So... either conductor's crazy or there's something even weirder going on with ticket that we know.
Or both.
From column A, a little from column B.
Yeah.
Probably. Meanwhile, Wright is...
I'll give you a hint. Sane people don't scream out imagination on the top of their lungs.
Yes. Yes, yes. Which also explains more where Sarutaki came from. Narutaki is just crazy.
Really?
He has no real reason for hating Decade. He's just...
There's no explanation. He's just a psychopath.
He's just a psychopath that has this power to move between worlds and saw Decade and is like, I hate that guy. He's going to make his life a living hell.
He's the same equivalent of a guy on the street corner downtown yelling at you about the government invading his brainwaves.
Yeah, basically. So anyway, Wright is... single-handedly cleaning the Diesel Russia and
being... with a montage.
Yes, with a montage. All we need is some 80s music there. the other three have cornered the monster in the rainbow line, and oh, surprise! It's Tokyo 2, conveniently covering his number
and his neck.
Yes. Oh wait. It was just Hikari, and the girls managed to catch the monster in the meantime for that effort.
Wait, which you mean there was actually a useful application of the
color
changing?
Two episodes in a row.
Astounding.
Yes.
This Sentai is tricksy and false.
Yes. So they toss the monsters out the door, and they blow up, and then they grow while Wright gets the Diesel Russia going.
To the power of his burning justice.
Yes.
His burning justice reignited the coal fire running it.
Yes, so with a conductor piloting the Red Russia, they fight, link up, sort of.
And don't form the Megazord this time.
Yes. Basically, they fight with just the trains. And win.
You can't stop
a
train.
Very unusual.
It's kind of really cool, actually.
Hard to stop a train.
So I kind of like that as he backs the diesel liner into the Tokyu liner.
Yeah.
And then he hits the gas for it. It shows a cut up close up of the engine with all the moving parts and the energy flowing through it. It reminded me a lot of in Go On to When the Monsters Would Grow Big.
Yeah.
The little color. Yeah. I thought that was fun. It's not really a point to me mentioning that.
I will say, with the episode with the train called Grandpa and trying to stop a train, I'm just kind of disappointed no one brought up coating the tracks with glue.
Meanwhile, Baron Nero points out that they actually fell for his trap and aversion, and while they were busy dealing with that stupid thing, he set up another shadow line. Whoops.
Oh, hey, the villain can think.
The villain's smart enough to attack two places at the same time.
That's two villains in this series that can think so far.
Two Kobayashi series in a row.
Shit. Well, no, I'm talking about just in this series, between Schwartz and Nero.
And I'm saying in two different Kobayashi series in a row.
Yeah. Which...
Heroes are only as strong as the villains they fight against.
And so far, these are not doing too shabbily. Until they start trying to kill each other, but that's, you know.
Well,
The Tokyo Jews?
No, the Shadow Line.
Oh.
But, yeah, that's that episode. And I haven't seen 9.
Because 9 just came out a couple of hours ago.
Did it?
It was like 4 days ago.
Well, let's just check Overtime's site, because it just showed up today.
It posted last Thursday.
For 9? You sure about that?
It says April 23rd.
Okay, I'm recording.
Okay, Wednesday.
How did I miss this entirely? This is dumb.
Well, so is the episode, kind of, so.
Well, since Ken and Mickey haven't seen it, why don't we just skip that for next week?
Okay, we can double up on Tokyo next week, then.
Because we got a power playback to do later anyway. We need to cut some time
and
here.
And it's a long power playback.
Yeah, that's true. So, yeah, we got double Gaim anyway.
Uh-huh. Man, Gaim double crossover, that'd be the best thing ever.
Oh, well, hey, there's Kamen Rider Wars.
That's not the same thing, though. It's kind of different.
Kind of the same, though, if you, you know, didn't watch it.
It'll never be the same.
Okay, so anyway. Since we have a Bravo heavy episode, Mickey, you're up.
Oh, sweetness. Which one is this?
25.
25. Okay.
Or is it 26?
5.
Five.
I don't know.
It's
I haven't seen 20 this week yet. That was 27, right? Yeah. When we miss a week, it throws me off a bit.
So anyway, Gaim episode 20V.
20V. 5.
Oh God. I don't know.
What?
I don't remember any of this shit here. Hold on a second. I'm.
Never give up.
It probably would have helped if we didn't skip last week's episode. Podcast episode, I mean.
Yeah. Okay, the only thing I can figure out what the hell's going on right now is that Ryugen, Baron, and Gaim are all fighting in a cafe. I don't know.
It's that same plaza where that one Greed killed all those people to draw O's out. Just a different angle.
Yeah. Well, there's only one plaza in
or
Japan.
Or Yummy, so. Not Greed.
The same thing.
Basically.
There in the corner, being jealous, is Acorn.
Jonouchi.
And, yes. Acorn.
And then he overhears what his team thinks of him.
That's right. Yeah, off the distance, he sees his old sluts.
Meeting up with their new slut, Mai.
Right, yes. Because they're that desperate for friends, they're hanging out with Mai.
Well, it's part of Mai's initiative of all the dance teams joining together and, you know, having peaceful, happy, footloose days.
Which, I'm sorry, I'm just not buying this. In a show about fruit-powered samurai, the hardest thing to buy is that someone want to hang out with Mai. That's the least believable thing about the show.
Don't consider who they were hanging out with before.
No, I like Jonouchi more than I like Mai.
Yeah.
That's
the frightening part.
No, that's just who Mai is. I mean,
Jonouchi's slimy and he'll stab you in the back, but, you know,
he's genuine about it.
And he's stylish.
It's also kind of, I just wish, like, if you're going to have, I don't know, a character that's not going to really have any powers or any do anything, just, you can do that well. There's Akiko.
I'm saving that noise, by the way, Ken.
Thank you. I was hoping you would. And, like, even, you know, Minato's a crazy bitch, but she's a much better female character.
Yeah, I'd like Mai more if she was Akiko.
Yeah.
Or even, like, I'm trying to think of... See, that is a problem. Sometimes the female psychics and writer tend to not be the strongest points of the show.
But Akiko... Well,
it's mostly the main problem is that they haven't really let Mai do much.
Yeah, because she's been clueless up until this next episode.
Mai's problem is that she means well, but she acts irritating.
Yeah.
She's supposed to be like a voice of reason and good, and, you know.
Whereas, actually, maybe let's hold this until the next episode here, because there actually is some things that she does in the next episode that I actually liked.
Okay. But, you know, Akiko, she was meant to be an irritating character, therefore she's kind of more likable because of it.
I find Akiko very endearing.
She has to put up
with Shotaro and Philip.
Most of Shotaro, though.
Her clients are irritating.
Yes.
Everyone in Gaim is supposed to like Mai.
Yeah,
which makes no sense.
But I don't buy that at all. I don't see what there is to like.
Yeah.
Akiko is somebody that Shotaro really didn't like at first and grew to like. Basically became like his little sister.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, if we could replace Mai with Akiko, Gaim would be perfect.
It would be, wouldn't it?
Or at least that much closer.
Yeah.
We also missed our Michi moment at the start of the episode where he's like, no, don't take proactive steps to stop attacks on the city. Let's just keep fighting them off as they come.
Yeah, this first scene is also what I was talking about, how, like, Zack is both the most, heroic writer in the series.
Yeah. Yeah, he's the most genuinely heroic writer.
He's like, yeah, we'll just, you know, keep doing the superhero thing. We'll be good.
Yeah. And he's getting better at it. He didn't need nearly so much help to win this time.
Yeah.
Keep in mind that he's doing this with a less powerful production driver than Baron's been using.
And a mass production driver.
Yeah, yeah, he's using like one of the lowest, one of the weak seeds out on top of everything.
It's pretty much the weakest one that isn't Kurokage.
Yeah.
It's like if they took a riot trooper and
made
a main
character. I thought
the
weakest one was Sunflower.
I don't know
what's actually being used.
Yeah, I don't even think Sunflower can transform based on 27. Yeah, 27. But anyway.
So Jinochi's moping at work.
Yes, he's dripping salty tears into his chocolate souffle.
It'll make it fall.
To say nothing of the cake batter.
Apparently, his competitor chefs spent their money and hired Oren to come in and berate him as their cutthroat thing. So Oren pops up and he starts doing his thing.
He works for
Oren. He works at...
No, I was trying to make a cutthroat kitchen joke and it fell apart on me. So just...
Oh, okay.
Let's just move on.
Okay. That's fine. Let it go.
I tried and it failed. Oh God, I'm so sorry.
Oren is preaching at Jonouchi about being a real man.
Moving along.
Yeah. Yes. He realizes Jonouchi as having a life-turning crisis, and he's glad that his balls have finally dropped and grown hair, and he's going to show him the way to be a real man.
Meanwhile, in Helheim.
Meanwhile, in Helheim, Kota and Baron are.
Well, we're back to Garen's regularly scheduled ass kicking.
Well, not yet. We'll get there.
Verbal ass kicking.
Yes.
Always some kind of ass kicking.
Also, meanwhile, DJ Sagara is confronted by the other Energy Riders.
Shh. Hold on.
That's farther ahead.
Farther ahead.
We don't need to cut that much time, Paladin.
All right.
Kota is telling Baron that, hey, let's talk to these guys. And Baron's like, no, f***ing kill them.
And I do like that Kota like, gets in his face. I'm like, why the hell are you trying to piss them off, asshole?
And his answer is, why not?
The characters in the show are so horrible, but it's great. It's not horribly written.
It's like Archer.
It's not horribly written. They're just like, besides Kota and
terrible
Zach,
people.
Yeah, besides Kota and Zach, they're all such terrible people, and Kota's like being forced to do terrible things, so it's basically just Zach.
I just love that there's definitely no reasoning with Kaito at all.
No, and the bad thing is, I know people like that in real life.
We all do.
I know.
They're called politicians.
Like, yeah, it's like, man, he'd make a great politician, wouldn't he? But
Aaron is very simple. We disagree, we fight.
Yeah.
I win, I'm right. You win, you're right. I'm never giving up.
So basically, what you're saying is, Baron's never right.
It's basically...
That's the impression I'm
basically,
getting.
Basically, I'm right unless you kill me.
Or he's just in this continuing cycle of downward spiral of, like, always being wrong and trying to worm his way out of it. He can't ever admit he's
Diggy,
wrong.
Maybe I'll get to the top.
He can't ever admit he's wrong. So he keeps going down and down and down. And further, eventually he's going to hit the other side of the world, and then he'll be on top.
Kaito stands at the top of being on the bottom.
But eventually...
On episode 27.
Eventually, you can only go so far down until you're on top. I mean, that's the way the world is, right?
Mickey, is that true?
There's some versatility involved.
Yeah, you can only dig so far until you reach the surface on the other end.
Mickey, is that true?
Yes, that's called spit roasting.
Oh, well. I'm going to die.
Most likely would.
Not even halfway through the first episode.
It's going to be a long night.
But enjoyable.
Meanwhile, back at Yggdrasil's hotel lobby where Ryuma set up his office. Like, I kind of believe that, like, on the other side of this room, there's like a desk with like clerks checking people into their rooms.
Well, you've seen their cells. That's not entirely too far-fetched. And they got to stay somewhere if they're going to blow the city up.
Yeah.
Ryoma and crew wander into the office, and oh, snap, look who's there in the chair. It's DJ Sagara.
And in a nice suit.
That is pretty nice.
It is a pimp-ass suit.
Yeah.
It's certainly not a Kogami suit, but...
It's a pimp-ass suit with a matching bandana.
Yeah.
Which is the fun part of it.
Yes. Yeah. The bandana ties it all together and makes it fun.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he just looks stuffy.
Yeah, because you can see DJ Sagara hasn't, like, sold out to become corporate. He's still rocking his style, even while he's dressing out a little bit.
Oh, yeah. God, I so want to see interaction.
It's a snakeskin pattern.
I so want to see interaction with Kogami and Sagara now.
Oh, Lord.
And Oren.
Oh.
Kamen Rider fashion show.
Yeah, Kamen Rider Tyson.
And Owner. Owner has to be there, too. Just because.
He can do the catering.
Fried rice for everybody.
So basically, the whole conversation boils down to, hey, what the f***, Sagara? Why did you help them? And his answer is, it seemed more fun to help them. Balance things out, make it more interesting.
I just love every word that comes out of his mouth in this scene. And Ryoma's reactions to it the entire time. He's like a kid in a candy store.
And of course,
yeah,
part of it is that,
to
yeah,
shoot
I'm going
scenery
to,
like
I'm
nobody's
that,
business.
Yeah, I know no matter what I do, it's going that, yeah, I know what I'm saying is going to piss you off. And you can't do anything about it because if you tried to because if you do kill me, you don't get to know how I made lock seeds.
So now here's the thing about this. Talking about forbidden fruit, and you know, he mentions a few stories here and there. Weren't we just saying last episode about how he's a snake, and they don't actually say it explicitly, but you know, the whole Adam and Eve. But
oh shit, snake skin suit.
Yeah, you didn't know.
Yeah. So basically,
it's layers and layers of symbolism again.
So basically, he might be the f-ing devil.
Or at least, you know, reading the handbook.
Yeah.
There's a chance for my earlier hope that he was going to be the final boss to be true.
Yeah. So basically, there's a chance, a small chance, possible
He's
chance.
He's probably one of the overlords.
Don't think he is based on the conversation he had.
There's a chance he's f***ing Satan, is what I'm saying.
That's very dangerous behavior.
Because...
well, you know, f***ing Satan being Satan, you know, one or the other.
No, but the conversation that he actually had with the overlords makes it sound like, you know, he was some pre-existing force at the time they evolved, or...
Actually, possibly... Well, no, I'm saying that he's probably not one of the overlords from the Helheim we've seen, but possibly their equivalent from one of the earlier places it was.
That would be interesting, too.
Like, wherever it came from when it got to what we're seeing as Helheim.
Mm-hmm.
That place is Helheim.
Anyway, if Sagara does end up being the final boss, I'm kind of expecting he will be the, you know, much-wanted Apple-themed rider suit, much like Enter was Dark Red Buster.
Oh god, that'll make too much sense too, because the snake with the apple.
Yes.
Yeah, and he'd be dropping knowledge bombs up in this shit.
You know, if that happens, I kind of almost expect the final battle to be like, you know, a Gundam final battle where they're just preaching at each other the entire.
Oh god, and he is tempting them with fruit.
That would be kind of like a Kuga final battle.
No, yeah. If it was a Kuga final battle, they would be standing in a snowy field punching each other untransformed, until one of them dies.
And there's blood everywhere.
That's how you know they died.
Yes. You can tell that Ryoma has such an erection in this scene.
I mean, he's wearing it right there on his face.
Yeah.
Surprised they let that get past the censors if it's on his face.
But yeah, it's a great scene and an otherwise kind of humorous episode. It's like, you know, this is not really a very important plot episode. Let's drop the biggest plot thing we can in about 3 minutes.
Uh-huh. Gotta make sure you're paying attention.
Make sure, yes. Yes, don't mind the Bravo and Greedon silliness. Although, we do...
Speaking of which...
Yes.
Meanwhile, at the
speaking
playground...
Speaking of montage... Somebody finally found the Ornak suit.
And it looks like Team Ornak's blasting off again.
Yep.
Somebody set this scene to Eye of the Tiger yet?
Wow.
Now, the best part is the eyes on the Beat J Stag playground.
I wish Ormac had been talking over Paladin's Wobbuffet. That's a sad thing to lose, but...
Maybe if you played Ormac backwards, it would cancel him out.
No, it would just be a message from DJ Sagara.
So what else does Oren train Jonouchi to do?
Oh god,
he tells him how to put some bass in his walk.
Yes.
You forgot about this part?
No, I was talking about the eyes. I missed the eyes. I just noticed it when I was going back through the episode. But yes, go on.
Oren teaches Jonouchi how to work.
It, specifically.
W-E-R-K, work.
Feather boa.
And he better not f*** it up.
And then we get Mai's best contribution to the episode, possibly the series.
Hmm.
And her just walking in on it.
Ah, well, yeah.
With Junichi's old crew.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We've all had that nightmare, right?
Never give up.
So, what did he do?
Fortunately, that was clean.
Intro quote.
Eventually.
So, while Kota and Junichi are discussing their woes together, Japanese Ernie and Bored Bitch are playing dress up with the feather boa.
Yeah, around. That's a little,
What the hell is that?
Oh, Bando has some kinks that we don't know of, apparently.
Didn't want to know.
And Jonouchi still doesn't know what happened to Hase, does he?
Yeah, he like brings up, it's like, I wonder what Hase's doing.
About and that. Kota's...
He's on a farm with all the other Hase's.
I think there's a Yuya up there, too.
Bye, Ken.
Okay.
No,
well.
Not this again.
Oh, that's okay.
That's okay. He'll let us know when he comes back.
Hello?
Hello?
Did I drop out?
I told you he'd let us know when he came back.
How long was I out for?
About 7 minutes. There's a bit that of a time skip.
Okay, so anyway, go on.
But this time, Oren shows up and discovers Junichi cheating on him with Kota. And he goes berserk and attacks all the balloons in the restaurant.
And then...
Then Bored Bitch has had enough of his shit.
Maybe she should have been a writer. Well, she probably doesn't have the motivation for it.
Well, if she's probably a not. Writer, then she can't just laze around and do nothing all day except
an awful lot of work
for occasionally
going to the place. Why not? Jonouchi hasn't transformed in 15 episodes.
And it works for Ryoma.
Yeah.
But she'd be more like a Fies writer because she's always on her phone, right?
Yes!
No, she's actually communicating with someone.
Oh!
I think she's just playing Flappy Bird, though. So,
Epic battle time.
And where did she pull the nunchucks from?
Yes.
There are exactly. Two ends, so...
So, Kota and Oren transform.
Well,
and,
after... Well, first, she also ends up hitting Japanese Ernie on the head.
So they transform, and they carry their fight off into the sunset, Looney Tunes style, fighting through exhaustion.
And they both fall down the stairs.
They're a little butthurt after that.
A little bit. A little ass shaved.
Who wouldn't be? After going one-on-one with Oren. When suddenly, Invis attack.
Okay. Lots of Invis!
Well, that's becoming a thing now. Just wait until next episode.
Yeah.
And so Junichi has his moment of manliness where he sprouts one chest hair and runs into the fray to save Oren.
And get his ass kicked.
Yes, he pulls a hot rod, basically. runs in to save someone, but just gets his ass kicked.
Yellow 4!
On the bright side, you know, at least it didn't end with somebody else dying here.
That's true.
Except almost him.
But his distraction gives Kota enough time to bust it up a notch and pull out Kashidaki arms and end this shit
just
right.
Murder everything in sight. They're really using this Kota is f***ing overpowered thing kind of well in the narrative.
Well, they still have Kachidokis to sell.
Yeah, but still,
it's not even his final form.
Yeah, I know.
Damn
but the
it,
way, Fort the
Max.
Way that's true, actually. regardless, the way it's used though is works well because what does Kota's distraction do for them?
The way it's used is like, okay, let's do something awesome and get back to the cool story bits again.
Basically, yeah.
Let's end this battle quickly and not drag it out.
Yes. Because, yeah, they up and just hightail it. Or Oren drags him off.
Well, not exactly drags.
Carries.
And he's somewhat proud of
gracefully.
Him because he became a man today. And back at the juice bar, Mike confronts Kota and says, "We need to talk." And we all know that's always a great thing when a woman tells you that.
Especially when it's Mai. Because that means you have to, like, talk to her.
Dun, dun, dun.
And as the episode ends, Oren sees a crack.
Oh, yeah. Jonouchi explained to him what was going.
He sees a crack. He must enter it.
No, okay, but why, the important thing is why. Because Jonouchi tells him the Invis game is over, so why are Invis appearing? And thus, why are we even fighting them?
And Oren is smart enough to realize that there is some truth to that.
Yes. See, the thing is, Oren's just not been in the loop.
Yeah. Oren's still been working on the Yggdrasil propaganda, basically.
He probably believes them, in fact.
Well, yeah.
Cause he wouldn't have any reason not to.
Exactly. But that tells him that something's up.
They're the giant corporation with the not-at-all ominous huge tower in the middle of the city.
With a not-at-all ominous name.
Yeah.
And also, he's extremely biased against the beat writers because they got fame for not being professional artists.
Yeah.
So he can't believe anything that anybody said bad about them.
Although it is a point now that what they're doing now is not, you know, just getting fame through fighting, but through their actual effort. So actually, if you'd almost think that if he comes to realize that, that's something he might actually sort of respect. As terrible as they are. But it would be enough for probably him to go, wait, I don't need to deal with these kids.
Or not fight them all the time anyway.
Yes.
There's bigger things to fight right now.
It's the beginning of a face turn for him, basically.
Yeah. Okay, so on to episode 26. Where there's no Bravo at all, darn. So Mai thinks Kota is acting weird, but Kota covers it all smoothly by saying, "No, you're weird."
Well, it's not untrue.
So Mai says Yuya, and Kota compulsively begins spilling.
Bear in mind, he's probably been holding this shit in. He's been holding this shit in for weeks.
So, you know, he leads in with the Hase thing to kind of, you know, ease her into the concept.
Yeah. lead in with the, that other guy got murdered, too.
But not by me. I only murdered Yuya.
Oh, wait. Whoops.
Well, that's fine, then. Hey!
Now, stunningly, Maya's actually, like, supportive and doesn't even blame Kota. She's just worried about him having to have held on to that by himself for so long.
And finally she acts like a real human being.
Handled this reveal, too.
She's the first
female lead in a writer series to act like a real human being when confronted with something like this.
Yes, so that actually kind of made me not mind her as much in this episode.
Which is good, because she's around for a lot of it.
Yes, she is, and she does something I really love later, but we'll get
to that.
Yeah,
me too. Takatora is having a lovely chat about killing, you know, 6 billion people or so with his unseen boss.
About this scene here. Is anyone else guessing that's his father?
Maybe.
Isn't the Kurishima family in charge of Yggdrasil?
Well, we don't really.
Or are they just high up on the food chain besides the brothers, though? Or are they just high up on the food chain, is the question.
Yeah.
It's the theory I have with it right now.
I mean, it makes sense until they drop something else on us that blows it out, like most of our speculation ends up going.
Yeah, so let's. Yeah, so that means it's not going to happen. Good job, Paladin.
So, Michi walks in at the end of this and observes that this must be a difficult thing for Takatora to have to do. But
yeah, genocide and all.
But he gets all sassored about it, saying that he stands at the top of genocide.
Well, I mean, if you gotta do something, you need to be good at it, right?
He also mentions how those with talent must be ready to stain their own hands, and that Michi's time may be coming soon, which can't possibly be foreshadowing at all.
Noblesse oblige.
Yeah.
Of course not.
So, Kota told Mai everything, and Mai is telling what's left of Teams Gaiman Baron, including Michi, who admits he knew and hid it as well.
And the look on Michi's face!
Oh, yeah.
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 Oh, man.
So, at the juice bar, Kota has a really nice leather jacket. And he seems in generally high spirits.
I was going to say, I was going to say, that was the first thing I noticed. That is a bitchin' jacket.
He seems in generally high spirits, having now told his friend that he murdered another friend and that the world's going to end within their lifetimes.
Well, you know, get that stupid shit off your chest.
Yeah. He gets a call, though, because Mai is about to go public with the whole everybody's going to die thing, and it gives one of the team members a bad feeling. I can't imagine why. But it's okay. It's okay, though, because Mitchie has a plan.
And he tell us about Mitchie's plan, please.
Because that always goes so well.
Mitchie has a plan, so he drops a couple dozen lock seeds that have popped open out of his ass to drive the crowd away and further discredit the beat writers. Nobody's ever going to listen to anything they say again.
Mitchie's so heroic.
And I love the people that do try to, like, defend him. Because I love the character. But he's a f***ing shit. He's a f***ing
people
shit
trying to hell. Act like he, like Mitchie's being the heroic. But yeah, I've seen people try to defend Mitchie as a good, decent
which,
person.
I mean, oh, yeah, Mitchie is completely missing the point. He's built to be the villain character in this arc.
Yeah.
It's what they've been doing since the start.
I mean, he might come around by the end of the show. He might not.
Yeah, but right for this arc, he is the villain. There's no getting around that.
Yeah.
And somebody remembered Strawberry Arms exists too.
Yeah, that was my reaction. I was like, holy shit!
Yeah, Ryugen and Knuckle are a lot less effective than they were at the start of the previous episode, but it's okay, because
yes.
Gaim is here, and he remembered he has overpowered strawberry armor.
Although, they do...
Well, let's be fair. Gaim has overpowered every armor.
All three of them take out a lot, and actually, I do like the shot of all three of their finishers, and then them untransforming all in the same shot.
Gotta hand it to them for the effects they use sometimes.
And there is a pretty good reason why we never see Kiwi arms.
Because it sucks?
No, because it would require Mitchie getting up close to the guy he's fighting.
Yeah, that's not really his style, as we'll see later.
Yes.
So, Mai's spirit is broken, but that's much less important than Mitchie flipping his shit and trying to attack Coda for getting Mai involved to start with. Leading to my favorite part, and Ken's too, obviously, where Mai just straight up slaps him.
Yes.
But,
made me so hard.
It's like my favorite gif of the year so far.
There has not been a more satisfying hit or attack on anyone.
But then Coda
hear his brain breaking when she hits him.
You can hear his spirit breaking.
But then Coda makes her apologize and all the fun's gone out of it.
Yeah, but Coda.
Yeah.
So what happened when we were agreeing with Mai, but not Coda? but it's Coda. You kind of expect it from him.
So Ryoma, meanwhile, is watching the highlight reel of Baron fighting the Overlord and notices how totally useless Kaito was for this job.
he's like, dude, this guy sucks. He's out. Next victim.
Minato, though, wants to give him another chance, which intrigues Ryoma, because apparently it's not her habit to be involved with people.
Apparently she wants the banana.
I could have guessed that. That's not a new revelation, Ken.
No, it's not.
Ryoma's happy to go along with this just because it's so unexpected and fascinates him.
I do like his reaction to it, though. He's like, really? Okay.
Now,
if you insist.
So now, as we're finding the overlords again to go and, you know, get more data from them, well, here comes Mitchie, who has another great plan to do just that.
Now, Mitchie's plans.
Now, Mitchie hasn't told anyone, such as his brother, that Ryoma knows about the overlords and all that. And Ryoma just knows he's about to be manipulated. So Mitchie just lays it all out with the creepiest close-up shot ever.
Oh my god, yes.
Also frightening on many levels.
So I'll give you a plan to find the overlords, but you have to do everything I say.
But you know, props to Ryoma for realizing, dude, you're full of shit and I know it. What's the deal? Come on.
Yeah, Ryoma's great.
Ryoma's never not great.
No, he's not. He isn't. Ryoma is always excellent.
Ryoma, Mitchie, and Minato in their own way, those three are always just...
On.
On.
Yeah. So Kaito's hanging out being homeless Batman. And
he has a house. I think he's been living in Helheim for the past few weeks.
Yeah, and I don't think he really had a house before that because he, you know, abandoned Team Baron headquarters.
Their car is still there.
Minato arrives to present him with a new toy, a brand new Genesis driver whose power Kaito is only too happy to test out. Zack happened to observe their meeting because he's just hanging out, you know, near underpasses too. And he goes to talk to Kaito after Minato has left. And they have a nice chat about Yggdrasil and genocide and using Kaito and Kaito using them right back. Before Kaito leaves, basically advising Zack, hey, don't be weak and, you know, don't die.
Yeah, good advice there. Hope you follow the same thing.
Well, Zack's getting better, so...
Kaito's not.
Well...
No, Kaito's getting worse.
Kaito never gets better. He's just spiraling down that hole like we were talking about before.
No, he just gets good. He just gets good enough to for it to be the same level of ass beating, no matter who he's up against.
Kaito's a little bit behind the curve, is what you're saying, basically.
He's Vegeta.
That's an insult to Vegeta.
Although, in terms of, you know, progression through the series, it's very appropriate.
Maybe he's a bridge Vegeta.
No, he doesn't have that pink shirt.
Well, nobody has that pink shirt.
Well, wait till he hooks up with Mai and she gives him one.
Oh. Yeah, but then you're saying that Mai is Bulma, which is an insult to Bulma.
Only barely.
Well, it's only barely an insult to call Kaito Vegeta. I mean... So Michi and Kota are walking around in Helheim, which is a great idea after Michi already flipped the f*** out on him once today. You know, let's go to the otherworldly forest, where who knows what could possibly happen when nobody's around to see. Kota puts on the peach coat and starts listening for the sounds of Fruit Grongi, which is our official designation for the Overlord language, thanks Gigabeetle.
Fruit Grongi!
Fruit Grongi.
That's the best. Thank you, Giga.
Oh, and that's another thing, too, we forgot to talk about before. Somebody actually made a converter for Acer's Fruit Grongi script to English.
Don't want to know it yet.
No, but it is there for anybody who does, and we'll link to that in the show notes when this goes up.
Right.
So after Kota gets a fix on the nearest overlords, Michi pulls out his entirely inconspicuous, no, I don't secretly work for Yggdrasil, honest, two-way radio.
And that Kota totally can't hear with his peach arms.
Right.
Yeah, they kind of got that factor.
Well, he's listening specifically in a direction.
So Michi forwards the position onto Yggdrasil's base camp, which in turn is passed on to Kaito. So then Marika and Michi work to stall Kota from reaching the overlords by Michi pretending to get shot defending Kota from Marika. And the distraction gives Kaito time enough to get where he's going and bust out his new toy, equipping Lemon Energy Arms, because Kaito is now very sour. Meanwhile,
we find what the jingle was for in the lemon lock seed that the other energy lock seeds didn't have.
Because this is actually the first time we've seen someone transform using the lemon lock seed.
Good job advertising there, Duke.
Yep.
It's not out till next month anyway.
And you know, given that the movie scans show Baron in this form, I guess it's probably what he's going to be sticking to.
Probably. Well, it's an easy upgrade for him. It keeps him the same colors. They don't have to make any new costume elements.
And it puts him on par with and power, at least, so. With everybody but Kota.
It puts him on par until...
Apparently, Toei completely pulled this out of their ass.
It puts him
not
on...
Not really. I mean, again, this is... Again, the lemon lock seed has...
It's based off the mango sounds. The lemon lock seed is based off the mango armor anyway, and a lot of the energy riders are mix and match stuff anyhow, so it works.
It puts Kaito on par, at least until the next time he gets into a fight when he needs to lose again.
So, probably next episode?
Next episode, maybe the one after, we'll see.
Yeah. He still has that new upgrade smell.
Smells like lemon.
Yes, lemony fresh.
I'm kind of glad that they did just reuse existing stuff for Lemon Baron, because banana soda sounds disgusting.
But does it sound more disgusting than pinecone soda?
Pinecone soda sounds like it would be delicious.
Try and run that through a soda stream.
Banana soda would probably use that disgusting artificial banana flavor.
The thing is, it's popsicles.
No, that's a real banana flavor. We've already discussed this. It's just an extinct flavor of banana.
Yes.
Although, fun fact, did you know that bananas are actually berries?
Uh-huh. Anyway, Mariko is still fighting Gaim, curious how Kota has become strong beyond just the half-Genesis driver he's using. And it's basically their own fault for making him have to toughen up. Good job, Yggdrasil.
Then he goes Katchidoki again and smacks her ass.
Yeah, Mariko's about to use her finisher on him, so Kota just gets out Katchidoki and blows her across the river, not even giving her a chance to fall in it.
Yeah, it's like, you know what? I'm sick of everybody's shit. Here!
Kota comes back to check on Michi, who says something about, like, it's just a flesh wound. And Kota heads on to find the overlords. Minato arrives a moment later, and Michi seems a little disappointed she couldn't stop him. But hey, Michi has a plan!
Oh, good! More plans!
That's the theme for this week's episode of Gaim.
Three plans in one episode. That's not a good sign, considering the way his plans tend to roll.
Mickey, do you remember Perfect Strangers?
I certainly do.
Michi is Larry.
Yeah.
I have a plan.
Oh, God.
And then everything goes bananas.
So, amazingly, Baron is not getting his ass handed to him. He doesn't have a clear advantage, mind you, but he's giving the Overlord as many hits as he's taking.
This fight is actually really fucking awesome.
It really is. I especially like the reverse arrow shot, which looks entirely unrealistic to do, but
yes,
really
but
awesome.
It looks really, really cool. That's the point.
He's using the weapon wrong, but in a cool way.
He's using the weapon wrong in an effective way.
He's using the weapon wrong, so he's still fighting like Baron.
But his reverse arrow shot actually manages to wound the Overlord.
I was surprised at.
But you know, just because Baron's doing well, here comes Gaim to break up the fight before they kill each other.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. It's like he's finally winning, or at least, you know, not losing. And then here comes Kota.
And don't forget the other Overlord shows up, too.
Yeah, Gaim can't really do much to stop the fight because he's just in orange arms. But it's okay because...
Kota needs to be careful before he, like, turns into Kira Yamato, though, because, like, he's overpowered as f***. Now he's trying to stop everybody from fighting. But I think Urobuchi is a better writer than that, so...
I hope so.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, the other Overlord shows up and uses confusion, and it's super effective. And the first Overlord runs away before Kaito can actually score a victory. It's a tie at best. Kota tries to get Kaito to understand they need to talk things out with the Overlords, but Kaito's really not interested and is about to start punching him in the face, leading Kota to get switching back to Katchidoki as Michi watches from the tree line. That's not sketchy or anything.
He has a plan.
So as Kota locks on and the Katchidoki stuff's falling out of the air, Michi just, you know, up and shoots him in the back.
You know, I've been wondering for the entire series if any monster or anything would ever get smart enough to do that. But it's Ryder. That never happened. Oh.
Well, the thing is, too, though, Marika shot her finishing attack at Kota when he was in the middle of changing arms. But it bounced off. So apparently the weakness is just in the back of the undersuit.
Ryugen's just quicker on the draw, because it does take the sonic arrow a lot longer to fire.
Yeah, it does. And his is just a thing, you know, it's the difference between shooting an arrow and shooting a gun. Bullets fly a lot faster.
Yeah.
But how about how does he get them?
Sheer dumb luck.
And it was a stationary target.
Yeah, that too.
That always help him.
but really, really, lucky he was lucky facing the right direction.
Yeah.
Yeah. But hey, cliffhanger. Is Kota dead?
Probably.
Is Kamen Rider Gaim dead? Find out next time on Kamen Rider Gaim.
Previously on Kamen Rider Meteor.
Wait, what? Previously on Kamen Rider Baron. Oh, God, we're all f***ed. Also, I noticed in the Kamen Rider Wars trailer, actually, Tsukasa's hair is a little poofy, so I'm a bit more satisfied with this movie now.
Speaking of movies, Ken's not
there's
satisfied
a DVD box quote.
Speaking of movies Ken's not satisfied with, let's take a break and come back for Power Playback.
We paid your mom a nickel to listen to Superhero Time. She died.
The new Nerf bow and arrow is coming your way, and it means business.
The power is pumping and arrows in your hand. Now your heart is thumping, fire as quick as you can.
Nerf bow and arrow.
The enemy's coming, now they're in your sight.
Nerf bow and arrow.
To the front of the line, in the thick of the fight.
Nerf bow and arrow.
The mightiest Nerf adventure ever.
So, remember how we had Wingathon that one time and we ruined the Eternal movie for him?
Yes.
Good times.
I'm thinking we need to harness that same power, but in reverse, and turn it on Ken, and teach him to enjoy Kyoryuger versus Go Buster.
Yes.
No. There are some good things in the movie.
Ken,
there are some good things in the movie, but there's enough things that piss me off.
Ken, you know our power. We are capable of this.
You never made me like something.
We never tried.
And you're not going to now.
Are you with me on this also, Paladin?
Well, that depends. Am I covering this?
That depends. How do you feel about it?
Let's see. The first line sums it up. I hate dinosaurs and I hate Sentai.
That is the perfect line for a opening move. That is the perfect opening line for any Sentai movie.
There's a better line later on, though. There's something a little off with this crossover.
A little.
Or team-up, I think it was. But same difference.
Team-up is using it term a bit lightly, but yeah, okay.
Well, I think we should just go ahead and try to have the most fun with this. So Ken's going to summarize.
You both.
Me and who?
Does it matter?
Well, you
ain't asked Fort Max.
Why Fort Max? What did he do?
You.
He agreed with you.
Oh.
He likes the movie.
I think Mickey likes it okay, too.
It's fine enough for what it is.
Yeah.
It can be better, it can be worse, but it's not bad.
It's a lot more Go Buster than
It is a lot more Go Busters than any other than most of the other Versus movies have been with regards to this older team.
Well, more than that though, it's a lot more Go Busters than the promos led to believe.
Yeah,
there's still enough that kind of
still not quite enough for them. It really does feel like there's two crossovers here that got jammed together.
Sentai movies, even when their casts don't have as big of roles, they still feel
integrated.
Yes,
this does feel a little disjointed, but I'm willing to excuse that because I like the idea of getting all the dinosaur Sentais together. I think that's fun, and I'm glad they did that.
I do, but I think it should have been its own thing.
I don't really disagree with that,
and that would have given that both this. And that, I think, the proper time they both needed.
Well, and the other thing, too, is if they had done the Dinosaur Sentai crossover as its own thing, you know, when Dino Charge happens, we'd have a really easily adaptable batch
exactly.
of footage to right. give JDF a chance to come back again.
Oh, God.
Well, they didn't use Dragon Ranger.
How would they do that?
That's what I'm saying, though. They would shoot around the parts where it's red. And have it be green because it's always Tommy.
Of course. So let's get this out of the story. I mean, let's get this.
What?
Let's get this turkey. Okay, so.
That's a fucking story in the turkey.
Okay, so the movie opens with the Go Busters, Hiromu, Ryuji, and Yoko, running down a truck that is taken over by whatever the Kyoryuger or minions are called. They beat the shit out of them, and they beat the shit out of them, and they run into not Zeltrax.
Neo Zeltrax.
Yes, and the Operanger minions.
All for herpes.
Ryuji destroys the f***ing road, which is the only thing of significance he does in the entire movie.
Fast forward.
Yeah, so Geki, Terran Ranger, fights not Goldar.
Neo Goldar.
Yes. I'm just going to call him Neo Zeltrax and Neo Goldar, because f*** it, I don't care. And then Daigo's dad shows up, randomly.
Well, that's all he did in Kyoryuger, too.
Yes, I know. So that just kind of happens. Then the Kyoryuger...
got old.
Yeah. And then...
He got big.
Oh, shit. Okay, I gotta go.
Bad weather? What?
Sirens.
Stay safe, Mickey.
Don't die, please. Oh, well, that's great. So, anyway, that's disconcerting, but hopefully he stays in one piece.
No, he'll be fine. I don't think the tornado wants to come near his house either.
It wouldn't have to.
Yeah, why is the tornado... Why does it need to waste its effort?
So anyway, the Kyoryugers are set upon by minions from all the Dinosaur Sentai.
Hey, look, putties.
Yes. So they
those costumes are still around, too.
Well, those costumes are also easy to reproduce if they have to.
Yes, they
that's the entire. That's kind of the thing with a lot of the boot costumes.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're easy to produce in large numbers.
So the Kyoryugers transform, fight, roll call, all that fun stuff. Until Neo Zeltrax shows up with Abare Red.
He was in the back of the truck before, by the way.
I never would have guessed.
You did gloss over the fact that they were, you know, driving around somebody in the back of a truck in chains and a bag over his head.
It's an hour-long movie. I did not want to sit here discussing it for an hour.
Well, yeah, but you're doing the summary, so it's going to be more like 2 hours.
So anyway, Red transforms and beats the f***ing shit out of the Kyoryugers, which is actually a little satisfying, I'll admit. But they are saved by the Go Busters, which is also a little satisfying, I'll admit.
Mm-hmm.
Wearing their super armor for some reason.
Well, most of the Buddy Roys just randomly aren't in the movie, so...
Well, it probably wasn't... Gurosaki was never a combatant, and Usada needs, like, remote control, so it probably wasn't worth it to dig those suits back out.
And Usada's even more less of a combatant.
Well, yeah I mean, I wasn't even addressing that point, because nobody ever would think... At least Gorosaki's big. If he wanted to go around punching stuff, he probably could.
So now, the satisfying thing I will give about this movie is that whenever the Go Busters do something, they do it very, very competently.
Because they're the Go Busters.
Yes. So basically, Hiromu outdoes the entire Kyoryuger team by almost fighting Operator Red to a standstill all on his own.
Yeah. And see, so again, this is where the movie kind of picks up. Like, in concept for me, because it's showing the Go Busters very positively when all the promo stuff was like, yeah, they basically don't even exist anymore.
Though it feels like that for the last 20 minutes, but I'll get to that later. apparently the transport system has been upgraded severely, because when Neo Goldar and Tyranoranger show up, and apparently Tyranoranger has all of the powers of the G-Rangers,
so they conveniently none of the others have to show up.
The Go Busters just teleport everybody right the f*** away. Which, it's been a year, I guess. It makes sense that they would have upgraded that technology, although technically, if you don't have the vaccine program, technically, you're not supposed to transport like that. But, that was that plot point!
No, you know what it was? Ryuji...
It was going to cyberspace.
No. Ryuji picked up everybody using his super strength, then Hiromu picked up Ryuji and took off with super speed. They didn't actually teleport at all.
But we see the teleport thing around.
Shh. My answer makes so much more sense.
So, with the boss guys, apparently, in addition to Neo Goldar and Neo Zeltrax, it's enter and escape unceremoniously.
Half yay.
Right.
It's not unceremoniously. It's that they were brought back specifically because they couldn't do any, because they needed their help.
Yeah, but they just kind of wander on screen. It's a little anticlimactic with how Inter went out. Just a little.
Well, they're backup copies, though.
No, yeah. Anyway, apparently...
And plus, they're getting more attention than past villains have the last few years, which is they show up for a few minutes
we'll
to get killed.
We'll get to that also. Moving on. Apparently, everybody has been transported to different places because Soji and Ian are with Jay, who is still the defender of the forest, and beats the shit out of some minions with that broom.
But first, they're beetles now.
Yeah, and they, so they can't talk.
Don't speak.
Meanwhile, then there is Ryuji, Nosan, and Uchi, which we can just bypass this entire scene. Moving on.
Basically,
no
it boils...
No more old man jokes.
Competition of old man jokes.
Which, you know, was totally a thing with Ryuji, except... Not.
No, it's just because Ryuji had more sense than what's-his-face Blue Kyuryuger, and, you know, he didn't just go spouting him off all over the place.
And Uchi tries to take the high ground, even though he's, like, 400 years old.
Well, only technically. Only chronologically.
So more minions show up, and they fight them. Then there's Yoko and Amy, and I wish I could skip this scene also. Because it's Sakamoto directing it.
Because, oh yeah, this is a Sakamoto movie.
Yeah.
And they're both...
They're skirts and thigh highs. Do I have to say anything else?
If you had any doubt who was directing, all you had to do was get to the scene.
And conveniently, Escape is the one who finds them.
Conveniently, and she has her one line, which is the her most repeated line from canon.
Yeah. That's because it's most repeated because every time she got reset toward the end of the series. Yeah. Which, Mickey and I had this great theory that they only started resetting Escape over and over so they didn't have to write any more dialogue for her.
That'd be accurate.
Yeah. I'm kind of surprised, though, that Escape didn't show up in a skirt for no particular reason.
I wouldn't have surprised me. This scene is...
Well,
there is, of course, the skirt twirl and twinkle sound again, too, which...
Damn it, Sakamoto.
You know, stuff like that is what...
make it better, but how old is Yoko supposed to be?
By this point, she is of age.
You know, it was stuff like this that put me off Kyuryuger originally in the first place.
Yeah.
This didn't know it's better, really.
Basically, it was the fart battery and the Sakamoto vision that kind of turned me off it.
I could do without the Sakamoto vision. But hey, before that, we have Daigo and Hiromu. And he's like, yeah, people call me King. He's like, okay, Daigo. But there's some nice continuity here where he's like, oh yeah, you're the asshole who saved us from, who helped me and Gokai Red. He says but that's being a little generous.
Wait, is that actually canon now? Because how the hell does that work?
Well, it at least is from one versus movie to the other one.
I mean, it usually is.
I mean, most versus movies have had references to other ones.
And also,
Pink Attack Part 2.
Yeah, keep in mind, both the Kyuryugers and the GoBusters are not surprised to see each other, so you can almost kind of take into account Superhero Tyson Z also, because they teamed up then, too.
However you want to reconcile the continuity with, you know, the series themselves, the team-up movies usually...
Basically... It works if they want it to work.
Yeah. Basically, it's who cares, they're teaming up.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So anyway, Inter shows up, and...
Okay, and here you can see Sakamoto's difference in priorities, too, because Escape stays, you know, human form the whole fight, where Inter, 30 seconds later, is transforming to his monster form.
Yeah, he... transforms right into... Inter Unite...
And considering what Enter does later on, I could have done without this entirely.
Yeah. Yeah, Sakamoto's priorities are a thing. Meanwhile, the Kyuryugers are... They end up getting together while Hiromu goes to fight Enter. And there's just more focus up on the Kyuryugers trying to save the other Dino Rangers. Which they... fail miserably at.
Well, the movie would be over way too fast, and of course we can't have that.
No, it wouldn't, because then the GoBusters could just kick everybody's ass and we'd be good. Because they show in this movie they could.
They're the GoBusters.
Exactly. So Neo Zeltrax basically shrugs off the carnival finisher. And what happened here? My eyes glaze over when it's just Carrie Eager.
And there was a dinosaur that talked to them, but it didn't matter that much.
Oh yeah, the dinosaur that talked to him and warning Daigo that his best friend would die.
Which he did not figure out was Gavutera.
Yeah, so giant Neo Goldar
puts a dome over the city so they can't call the Zords.
And he pretty much does Bandora's grow gianting spell.
So,
and summons her wand from who knows where.
Yeah, but because Minitera is Gabutera, he turns into Gabutera and gets his ass killed immediately. Whoops.
And hey, the Kyoryugers are evil now.
Sure, why not? That moves us faster through the movie.
And they're heading into the past to kill all dinosaurs. The question is, should we stop them?
So the fights with Enter and Escape just sort of, we don't see what happens with those? Okay. The GoBusters find them and, no, they're evil. Okay. Sure, why not? Then they go to the past.
GoBusters go to the Spirit Base.
Well, yeah, they go to the Spirit Base.
And Hiromu does not react well to Torin.
Which is...
Because he's almost a chicken.
Almost, but they have to convince him otherwise.
He's Kuroki's a giant chicken,
there.
I tell you.
Kuroki is there, and so is Yayoi, not actually being Kyoryu Violet.
Because of course she's not.
I think people care more about seeing her as Yayoi anyway.
Well.
Instead, she's being the...
unspecified individual.
Does anyway.
Well, instead she's being the two... She's being the the support guys from GoBusters who aren't in this movie, sadly.
Yeah, there's a little nod to that later, but it's still kind of annoying that you have this person show. Oh, wait, they're a carrier, but they're just not gonna really. Okay, that's swell. Tell us the monster's arriving. Okay, we already knew that, but that's cool. That's cool. Meanwhile, the carriers are in the past trying to kill dinosaurs. Evidently, they're dinosaurs.
Before they turned into robots.
Right.
Yeah.
However that works.
Perfect sense.
So they have the other Voltasaurs in the whatever pocket dimension Brogigas is in. And Operate Blue shows up.
For reasons.
Yes.
Because he would take the amount of money they offered him.
He transforms. So they have new Beast Batteries, Super Sentai Beast Batteries. Because we have toys to sell.
Available at these fine retailers.
But they have to go blow. They have to go free the free Geki and what's his face from Operanger.
Yoga?
Something like that. And I only remember Geki's name because he shouts it when he transforms.
I do like how Aubrey Blue points out, what a strange team. Their Triceratops is pink.
Yeah, so the GoBusters and Torin go off to he transforms to save them, while the Kyoryugers, their dinosaurs get through to them, even though they haven't met them yet. Although it, I don't know.
Dino hope. That's it.
Sure. Where's Kyoryugen so we can kill all of them? Gaogai car joke. Nobody gets it. Of course not. Sigh. Be more entertaining than this.
So they're not evil anymore and they have a gateway back to the future.
Yes.
And then they take their sweet time bothering to go through.
The thing is, though, they charge the Sentai battery or whatever to make the thing open, but they did that without any plan of how to make the Kyoryugers who were evil last they knew actually go through it.
Yeah.
That's kind of the weakness of this plan, honestly.
There's a lot of weakness here in general, but regardless. So the GoBusters show up, just as Enter and Escape Opscond elsewhere, and they and Torin fight the four generals of the boss, get knocked out of their power custom form, or it was actually just the Go Busters fighting them. I don't really know what Torin's doing there. He was there. He kind of just kind of.
Well,
he kind of just is there, and then he's not, and then he's there, and then he's not. Anyway, the Care Rangers are back in the past. Yay! They can't transform though, because the Dino Hope, whatever.
Yes.
So they fight. Enter an escaper there also. They start getting their asses kicked. And more ass kicking. Some other insert song. Okay, there's Torin.
And hey, another toy to sell. Black Gabutera.
I'm sure I'd be surprised if that hasn't already happened. Anyway, the Go-Busters and Torin are struggling a bit until, holy shit, Jay, blows up everything. But that's fine because he has Jin randomly. But apparently it's just a backup Jin that was created in case Fogris ended up...
And we know exactly when it was created.
Do we?
Yes.
When
did Jin go into Jay with the, as a antivirus? The super video.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
That's perfect.
Okay.
All he's missing is a little paper cutout vaccine hat.
See, I would have loved this movie if they just did that.
The hat?
Now that they didn't, I know. So yeah, Jin's 30 seconds are here, and he, almost literally, they all transform, Buster's Ready Go plays.
And now we're all depressed.
Yes. So Yoko takes on two of them, actually.
The two least threatening ones.
Yes, of course, and the girl. While the Ryuji and Hiromu take on the other two, while the Beetle Busters just kind of fight minions for 10 seconds.
That seemed a little unfair.
A lot of this movie.
Everything
seems a little...
about Go Busters in this is unfair.
So they transport them some weapons. They don't actually blow. They don't actually blow them up, but the boss minions run away. Now, for the next 10 to 15 minutes, it's just dinosaurs.
Yeah.
You forgot
this is
one
where,
thing.
And this is where the movie kind of pisses me off. So, the Go-Busters really don't have anything holding them up at this point, right? Everything was...
Well, all that stuff was happening while they were having the fight inside.
No, it wasn't, because they only just blew it up, and then the Dino Hope rains down on them, and then everybody transforms.
No, it's fine. Don't worry about it.
No, it's not fine.
No, it's fine. Don't worry about it.
I am going to worry about it.
No, it's fine. Don't worry about it.
The rest of the G-Rangers and the Upper Rangers show up, and they get the roll call with the Kyo-Rangers instead of the Go-Busters.
Yeah.
That is kind of bullshit.
Not really, Ayn.
Yes, it
is. Roll call isn't really the Go-Busters thing.
It's a Super Sentai versus movie thing.
And they're the Go-Busters. They're taking care of the important stuff.
And taking 15 minutes to get there when they can apparently teleport anywhere. Or Hiromu could run there. Or they could have summoned the mechas way earlier because they know shit's going to probably go down. There's a lot wrong with this part. Because it's just, you know, wanking all over the Dinosaur Sentai instead of, you know, giving the Busters their due. That's why I don't like this movie. So, the Dinosaur Sentai transform. They are able to summon Tyranoranger and Operator Red's mechas also. Enter and escape. Okay, so here's the thing. Do not give me the... They're return monsters. Of course they're weaker thing with Enter and Escape, because their entire thing was every time they were killed and came back, they were stronger. So Escape is killed by only Uchi. Escape was somebody that took an entire team to take down most other times, or at least half the team.
On the other hand, it's Escape, though, and I'm not going to really complain about them killing her easy.
Yeah, but...
There is that, of course.
It's less about Escape and more about what it...
I know, that's just the example you started with, though.
Meanwhile, Enter gets killed by Ian shooting him once, and then Daigo, not even in a super form or anything, with the combined weapon.
He does into Dark Red Buster again.
Yes. Dark Buster gets his most powerful form gets killed by Daigo with the combined weapon they got in like episode 5. That's
Yeah.
Bullshit.
It was even mentioned in the full thing that they weren't full back, that they weren't even close to being fully back.
But it's still kind of bullshit because they just go out unceremoniously. The Busters aren't even there. While Zyuranger and Kyoryuger, Zyuranger and Abaranger get to fight their respective sub-bosses here. While the Kyoryugers just walk all over Enter and Escape, which is, I find more bullshit than most of the time when that happens. So yeah, I didn't like this.
My real complaint is just they didn't use the Buster suit Enter more. Like, instead of the monster form entirely.
This is a really shitty way for it to go out, to be honest. Because it's just Daigo. It's just Daigo, you know, being a f***ing overpowered.
Ugh. It's like the returning villains in every other crossover movie ever.
Except usually the team that they used to fight against has something to do with it.
This time they just get shoved off and
usually they just show up for 15 seconds to get defeated right away.
Well, either way, we're about 12 minutes past the time last time the GoBusters even showed up. Where all the combined dinosaur mechas appear. And they fight for a while. It's a few minutes more.
More
until
horrible CGI fighting.
Finally, 14 minutes after all that, which is, I should note, a quarter of the movie, the Busters finally show up, and then Jin disappears, and he randomly has a Buster battery. And they summon main Lio, and he just becomes a shield for Kyoryugen, and then they blow up the monster, and the movie's over.
Well, not quite.
I will also complain here about the underuse of Daijujin, since they actually, you know, had the suit there to use.
There is a pretty decent... I'm actually kind of glad they didn't use it, because here's the thing. They made the suit, but they didn't have it. But if they had made a CGI model, it would have been as bad as the Tyrannosaurus one.
I'm not really wanting them to have made a CG model Daijujin. Just, like, let Daijujin launch one Thunderbolt attack.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but,
or Thunderflash attack, whatever.
But then Hiromu calls him king and this movie. See, actually, I like it even less now. Thanks.
The movie did do one good thing, though, which is, you know, the shoehorn in cameo from the other team was put after the credits.
Yeah, it's all right.
Now, the other thing is that, of course, after Jin disappears, Jake immediately goes to the Unitron to try to hide his tears.
Mm-hmm. There's that.
Well, he already busted out the can of Unitron when they untransformed.
Yeah,
but
he knew what was coming.
But I didn't even care at that point that somehow even Jin and Jay were not enough to make me give a shit at that point.
Yeah,
I was like,
you were a horrible person.
No, this is a horrible movie. A quarter of it is taking up... literally, it's an hour movie. A literal quarter of it is taken up by the climax being taken over entirely by the Dinosaur Sentai. Entirely.
Yeah. This is not a good crossover, really.
It's a better crossover than we thought it was going to be, considering how little the GoBusters were promoted as even being there.
Barely.
The GoBusters were important for the parts they were involved in, though.
Oh, sure, and they were quite well. I mean, they were quite good when they...
I mean, that's kind of... Okay, I mean, I guess I can look at this a little bit different, because I'm taking the attitude of, I'm glad that they did more with the GoBusters than it ever looked like they were going to. I'm happy for them having the prominence and importance they did compared to the, oh, these guys might show up too-ness of the trailers and stuff.
Yeah, at the same time, that's almost...
Just really disappoints me that this is the last we'll ever see of the GoBusters.
Unless they show up in, like, a Tyson movie or something.
Could have been a lot worse for them, though. I mean, they could have had a lot worse ways to go out.
I think, okay, here's the bad part. I like their role in Superhero Tyson Z better than I liked in this movie. I am completely illegitimate, even with all of Yoko's bullshit, beach ball stuff.
That did seem to be more thought out in comparison.
The only even thing
though,
I
even
change...
though even though Hiromu and Ryuji are captured for half the movie, I still like their presence better in that movie than this one.
The only thing I would change with how Z handled the GoBusters would have been to have Jay hanging out with Yoko the whole time. Because that had been a thing before, and that would have been good continuity to keep, but then Superhero Wars and continuity.
Yeah.
Plus, you know, more Jay is always good.
But yeah, also the Tokyo-Jers run rampant over a messiah randomly, which also just kind of goes to the point of this movie kind of shitting all over GoBusters villains.
GoBusters was kind of all about shitting all over messiah.
I mean, the villains in general.
I mean, okay, legitimately, when the when the after credit scene started and it absorbed the card, I was kind of expecting the train to just come run it over and have it explode.
So that would have been that I would have liked. That would.
I would still like to see the Tokyo-Jers do that at some point.
You know, they would run over it. It would explode. The train would stop, and they'd come out and look around, and be like, "Wait, wasn't there something here we had to fight? Where'd it go?"
Then it grows. Then it grows.
No, it doesn't even grow. That's just the end of it. that would just be the end of it. It would be funny. It'd be the best thing the Tokyo-Jers have done in a while.
So, what's next week?
I have no idea.
Garo. Maybe.
But what Garo? There's a lot of Garo stuff going around. That's the thing, too. I've watched...
Son of Garo?
I've watched some of the new Garo series, but... I mean, it's okay, but I'm kind of concerned about adding a third weekly for half a year. Because, you know, we're already, like, pushing 2 hours here, and we didn't even cover all the stuff we skipped last week. That's kind of a concern for me. If we're doing three weeklies and we miss a week, you know, we'd have to do 6 episodes of stuff when we come back.
It starts off simply enough. We could do a quick, like...
Do the first episode of Makai no Hana next week to share our thoughts.
I guess. Or the first two, maybe. Because there's not a lot of substance in just the first episode.
Okay. I am enjoying it a lot, though.
Well, I'm not saying that. Just for, you know, getting into the series and, you know, having thoughts to share, just the first episode doesn't really, like, dive deep.
Oh, I understand that.
So we could cover, like, a couple episodes at a time and have it as a backup power playback option and spread it out over several weeks or months?
Well, I don't know about that. Let's just run the first 2 episodes as power playback next week and see where we go from that.
Yeah, that's good.
Because,
yeah.
I mean, we're not even... Mickey might not even be on board with that since it's...
I don't think he's watched it yet.
Well,
I mean, one good thing about it is, even though it's directly tied to the first 2 series...
It stands on its own still.
It stands on its own. Basically, the only direct tie is Gonza and the fact that, you know, Raiga is Koga's son.
Yeah.
So, I won't be surprised if,
which,
like...
they're technically not admitting, but yeah, we can all see that.
Although, actually, I would say he's more Kaoru's son.
Well, his name is Saijima, so...
I'd say he's more Kaoru's son based on his personality.
A good comparison I saw was that it's the relationship between him and Mayuri is actually reverse of Koga and Kaoru's, where Raiga is more like Kaoru, while Mayuri is more like Koga.
Mm-hmm.
Where she's cold and distant, while he is actually very entertaining.
I'm going to just go ahead and guess that Raiga is the product of a Makai Knight that had both parents live for at least most of his life.
Yes, or at least his mother.
Yeah. No, but I think if, you know, Koga had died at some early point in his childhood, he would have, you know, decided to take up and be like his father and adopt that personality instead.
It's a good enough theory until they prove it wrong.
Well, I don't really expect we're going to see Koga or probably even hear of what became of him, because that would probably stand in the way of further movies in the original timeline if they want to do that.
Yes, although I won't be surprised if, like, say, Rey randomly pops up in an episode.
Well, hopefully they, like, age makeup him some.
They won't.
You know, Gonza I can accept being, you know, just Alfred and never getting older.
No, Rey will show up and he'll look like he did, you know, 20 years ago. I would say Dan, but nobody wants Dan. Or Tsubasa. Nobody wants him there. Makai Senki didn't even want him there. Because he's boring.
Yeah, kind of. Well, he has a white armor. How much more boring can you get?
Well, Tommy Oliver did start getting less interesting as soon as he turned into White Ranger, so.
But that had Don't Vote for Dummy.
My point stands.
Okay, fine. So we'll do some Garo next week, and we'll have two Tokyugers and Gaim 27. Yeah, 27. Which was also awesome.
So I should go download that, then.
But when is Gaim not awesome? I guess to listen to, you know, some people, it wasn't awesome when it was a crossover. So that'll be fun to hear the fan subbers' reactions to the Kikaider crossover next month.
I'm just trying to block out fandom at this point.
Not a bad idea, honestly.
Some of the Gaim discussion gets a little headache-inducing. A lot of the Gaim discussion gets a little headache-inducing at this point.
I only pay attention to the adventures and fan subbing discussion, which is more gushing bursting into laughter over stuff like Takatora's butt being stared at.
Just got an update from Mickey on Twitter. Tornado warnings 2 minutes northwest, moving northwest, safe at the moment.
Good.
That's good.
Mickey's alive.
He's alive as of 3 minutes ago. So let's end on a high note with Mickey not having been consumed by a tornado yet.
Yay.
You've been listening to Superhero Time. Go to tokupodcast.com for show notes and to listen to previous episodes. Find us on iTunes or download our Android app at tfradio.net/android. Follow us on Twitter for show updates, weekly power playback, and more at superhero_time. Superhero Time is a Radio Free Cybertron production.
So long.
See ya.
Too late. I already ended it. Who's typing now? Who's typing?
Hi. We're not broadcasting. You said it was over.
You were typing before I ended it.
Oh, was I? I'm sorry.
What are you doing?
Nothing. I was just typing up something.
Oh, resume?
Oh, if only.
Podcasting resume? I don't think citing us as experience is going to get you any points with other podcast outfits.
I don't think it's going to get me any points in life, no. No, then maybe watch this shitty versus movie. I'm sorry.
Well, you knew we had to do it eventually. And, you know, if we had paled and do the summary, we'd still be in the middle of it. And we would have ended on horrible train puns. Because, you know.
I cannot rule out either of those.
That's right.
Superhero Time. 次回もお楽しみに!
You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.